Will you turn to Matthew chapter 4, please? Matthew chapter 4. This is the Lord's investment advice. Our text is Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 25. But we're going to start with Matthew 4, where Jesus calls the first four disciples. Matthew 4:18 tells the story, and all four Gospels have some version of this story. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," said Jesus, "and I will make you fishers of people." At once they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. In the simplest possible terms, that is what it means to follow Jesus. This is every believer's starting point. So everyone, picture yourself outside your home. You're cleaning your yard, you're standing by your car, you're talking to a friend, and Jesus walks past on the road. And he stops and he looks at you and he says, "Follow me." And what that means is you will walk away from your car and your house and everything inside, and you will walk down the road with Jesus and a few others who he had already called. And Jesus becomes your life. That is what those first four men did. Nothing more, nothing less. So we read this story near the end of Matthew 4. Matthew 5 to 7 are a long sermon of Jesus, which we call the Sermon on the Mount, but it is the discipleship sermon. That's what it is. And in this discipleship sermon, Jesus explained what following him means. It was for Peter and Andrew and James and John, the sermon was, so that they would know what have they gotten themselves into. What had they said yes to? What had they said yes to when they followed Jesus? And more importantly, the Sermon on the Mount, the discipleship sermon, is for the people who would follow but cannot. We cannot follow like that because Jesus no longer walks down the road and asks. So if we would say yes in the way that Peter and those other three did, but we cannot because Jesus is not asking in that way anymore, in what way is he asking? That's the right question, and the answer is the discipleship sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And that's why Matthew writes the story of the first four disciples being called near the end of chapter 4, and then he puts the discipleship sermon right after it in chapters 5 to 7. It's for people who read Matthew 4 and they want to follow, but they cannot because Jesus is no longer walking on our streets. And the Gospels describe people also like Mary and Martha and Lazarus, people who believed in Jesus and loved him, and they were disciples, but he did not ask them to leave home and follow, and they did not. So the discipleship sermon explains following for people like that as well. So the discipleship sermon has nothing about actually leaving your house and your family, because at the center, following Jesus is a way of living in your house and family. So, that's the introduction. And now we are up to chapter 6, verse 19. We're picking up the sermon. "Where is my treasure?" In verses 19 to 21 of Matthew 6. "Where is my treasure? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So, storing up treasure is good. Don't get rid of that. Saving up what's valuable is a good idea. People are made to do that. But, says Jesus, don't collect stuff on earth. Bad investment. Guaranteed to lose value. Savings like that rot while we save them. So don't miss some kindness in this. Jesus does not speak here about helping other people or serving God. Jesus does not say anything here about what's good and what's bad. He's telling people not to be silly or foolish, to use their heads. He's trying to help us who save and store up. What are we collecting? Surely not things on earth. So that doesn't sound kind to us because we are attached to our collections on earth. But that's the whole point in Jesus' mind. It is a foolish attachment. Imagine a young adult child ready to spend a lot of money on a car. And my children are mostly past this. This young person has a particular vehicle that they picked out and they are in love with and they want to buy, but it is junk. And the parent says, "Don't buy that. It's garbage." My dad did that to me and my brothers, and I have said things like that to my children. The young person does not want to hear that that car is junk, but the parent will say it and has to say it. That is why, that's what Jesus is doing here for us, for his followers. Earthly collections are all junk for one reason alone. According to Jesus, they don't last. Storing up treasure in heaven means doing things that will please your Father in heaven. So earlier in Matthew 6, Jesus taught us about praying so our Father in heaven would hear, not so people would be impressed, and giving money so our Father in heaven would see it, not so that people would see it. And three times earlier in Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Okay? Will reward you. He said that not four times in verses 1 to 18. So the Father's reward is what we're after. The Father's reward is the treasure in heaven. But here Jesus speaks about moths and rust and stealing. So he's shifting the topic from righteous actions to possessions and money. But he's still talking about reward with our Father in heaven. So where's my heart? Verse 21, 6:21. The first question was, where's my treasure? And now Jesus talks about our heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We sometimes take this to mean we have to get our heart right and then we'll have the right treasure. No. Jesus is saying the exact opposite. Jesus is saying, get your treasure right, because your heart will follow your treasure. Here's what Ed Neufeld wants. I want to have my treasure on earth and my heart with my Heavenly Father. Okay, get it? I will have treasure on earth and I will love my Heavenly Father with all my heart. Jesus, could I not do that? And Jesus says, Edmund, that won't work. Two masters will not work either, and treasure on earth and heart in heaven will not work either. Our heart says, our heart follows our treasure. Don't waste time trying to get your heart in the right place, says Jesus. Where is my heart? Right beside my treasure. My heart is beside my treasure. Get your treasure in the right place. This is not much easier than actually leaving our boats and nets and homes and possessions and following Jesus down the road. At least it doesn't feel like it to me. The good news is that God wants to equip us with everything good for doing his will. And he wants to work in us what pleases him. So the Father in heaven, we ask for that. Lead us in the way. Lead us that way. What is my eye on? 6:22 and 23. The eye of the lamp. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light, says Jesus. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? These are hard verses for everyone to understand, mostly because Jesus talks about eyes in a way that don't make sense to us. In the ancient world, some thought that light came into the body through the eyes, since it is eyes that can sense light. And so that's how Jesus is talking here. So just before Jesus talks about our eye, he spoke about treasure with the Father. not on earth. And after he talks about our eye, he tells us we cannot serve God and money. So think of our eyes as watching and longing for something. They're wishing eyes. What do we long for? What do we look at and wish we had? What have we got our hearts set on? Do we long for the reward people can give us or the reward that the Father can give us? Do we long for the blessing of God or the blessing of things? Where is our eye aimed? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So let's take our eyes as wishing and longing eyes. And that is not good, neither good nor bad in these verses, depending on what we long for and what we want. So Jesus has already said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Good news from God for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We can answer that glibly. I would like to do that. Sure, God, I want to be righteous for sure. I'd like to be more righteous, but not so fast. Do we want righteousness more than we want treasure on earth? Do we want righteousness more than we want all our money problems to go away? And if we had to choose between being more righteous and having all our money problems go away, what would we choose? Lord Jesus, can I not have both? Surely, Lord, in my case, I could have both righteousness and all my money problems go away. He has already said, live so that the Father will reward you and not people. He has already said, store up treasure in heaven. And in this line about the eyes, he's speaking about the same thing and telling us that what we want and long for makes a great difference. Pick right. Because this last line, if the eye isn't heading in the wrong direction, it's a very great darkness. Oh, he said, don't follow that. How many masters do I serve? Matthew 6:24. Jesus is quite relentless in this, is he not? No one can serve two masters. But listen, he's relentless because he's trying to get us out of trouble. He knows where it leads if we don't listen to him. He's trying to save us that. How many masters? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus here talks to people who've decided to follow him, people who would leave all to go with Jesus, like the four fishermen. The person who simply wants to lay up treasure on earth and doesn't care much about God does not need to hear that we cannot serve God and money, because that person is not trying to serve God and money, they just serve money. It is the followers who will try to serve both. So he's talking to people like us who do not want to stop serving God, but will be tempted to find a way to serve God and also serve money. And Jesus has one brief point. It won't work. You know, in my heart of hearts, I don't think I'm convinced. I really want to find a way to make it work. I actually want to serve God and money. Jesus says, it won't work. Jesus keeps taking us to a fork in the road, his way and the other way. And on the one hand, it's a basic choice that we sort of make once. But on the other hand, we need to make this choice again every day. And that's what we do with the Lord's Prayer. Father, may your name be honored today by our lives. May your will be done today by us. And by the time we've prayed that much and meant it, we have chosen the narrow gate and the steep path. So prayer is the way forward into this. I feel really lost on this, but I'm telling you, the only answer we have for that is prayer. What does it mean to serve money? When we make treasures on earth a big part of our lives, we don't see ourselves as serving those treasures. We think those treasures serve us. Wrong. We serve the treasure. Think how hard we have to work for our treasure. Let's not kid ourselves. We serve our treasures. We serve first to get them, and then we serve to protect them, to store them, to insure them, to repair them for upkeep. We faithfully serve our possessions. When our four children were toddlers, I was horrified at myself at how much parenting went into teaching our children how to take care of things, not to be careless with things, not to touch this or play with that. Put away your things. Don't drop this. Don't get mud on that. Take better care of our treasures. Don't be hard on our treasures. You need to learn that, children. That's essential upbringing. And my children weren't doing anything wrong that the Lord cared about. They got mud on their clothes. They brought it into the house. Does the Lord think, what evil little children? No. But we get angry at our children because mud is bad for our treasures, our damned treasures. Jesus is not shaking his head at the kids. They're doing in his mud what he made them to do, but he's shaking his head at the parents, and the poor kids are getting corrupted like that by the parents. Serving our treasures. Teaching our children to serve our treasures. In Scripture, everybody serves something greater than themselves. Everybody. Even if it's freedom. People are slaves to freedom. We're all serving something greater than ourselves. Everybody has in their mind something that brings life. Something that will bring good and take care of us. Something that will fill us. Something that will protect us if we serve it faithfully and stay on that path. And our society is telling us in every possible way that serving money and possessions will bring us great reward. Look at the people in the commercials. They have the blessing, the reward, the life, the joy, the happiness that we're after. It is a huge, bald lie, a deception from the pit, and it drives our whole economy. In North America, in these days, it is very hard not to serve money. It is very hard to believe that I don't need my share of that stuff out there to be content. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus saw money, treasures on earth, possessions, as his strongest competition for people's loyalty. He spoke about it often, and he goes after it hard here in the discipleship sermon. Money promises so much, but it takes us away from God, and it leaves us nothing at the end, neither God nor money. Bad investment. Am I worried about having enough? Our section ends in verse 24, but I want to take us to the very first line of verse 25. 6:25. Therefore I tell you, and this is my paraphrase, don't worry about having enough, because your Father in heaven takes care of you. See, Jesus is not teaching all of this to people who are greedy or covetous. Jesus was speaking to people who were worried about having enough. They were worried that they will not have enough to survive on earth. And we surely worry about this. So the worrying in itself is not the problem. God is not offended that we are frightened. The problem with fear is that it changes how we think and live. This kind of worry tells us to serve whatever makes the fear go away. And if worrying steers us, worrying about having enough, then we will live just like the pagans who don't know our Father. In the parable of the sower and the seed, Matthew 13, the thorns and thistles are the cares of life and the attraction of wealth. The cares of life and the attraction of wealth work together, and between them they choke the new life God gave us. That's what the Lord said. And here in chapter 6, he's trying to protect us from that. So our Lord's answer to the anxiety is real simple. Your Father in heaven takes care of you. We'll cover this in the next sermon, but that's where it goes. Your Father in heaven takes care of you. Let's not let worry steer our lives. Let's let the Lord steer our lives. Excuse me. Your life and mine show choices. You and I, every one of you and I, we stored up treasures somewhere last month. Look back. Where did you store up treasures last month? Jesus is not asking us to get our heart right. He's asking us to put treasure in the right place. And we can do this. To win our Father's approval and to receive his reward is in our grasp. If we seek for it, we will find it. If we ask for it, we will receive it. If we knock at that gate, it will open for us. So imagine the Father's joy at things you did last week when you obeyed Him, and imagine Him planning your reward. And see, Jesus sees what people get from their treasures on earth, and Jesus sees the Father's joy and the reward He has for those who serve Him. And Jesus, who sees both kinds of treasure and knows how both work, tells us, trust me on this. Serve your Father, not wealth, and don't worry about having enough. He's providing for you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, with scars on your hands and your feet, you called us, now lead us. You lived like this yourself. You know what this is all like from the inside. So Lord, you called us, and now lead us. And we know that people in our part of the world are much corrupted by all this, Lord. And I mean me, Edmund, and people like me. Complete in us what you began. Take us by the hand, Lord, and show us the way. We want to be yours. And we also love our treasure on earth. And so have mercy on us, worried sinners. We love you. We know you tell the truth. We want the Father's reward. Increase our hunger and thirst for righteousness. Amen. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.